So why did our ancient wise people live in joint families? Why did they recommend to live in joint families? If you remember, there would be a father and mother and then two or three sons. The daughters, of course, would marry and go to the husband's house, but there would be two, three brothers and their wives and their children. And so there would be cousins and uncles and aunts, and they would get married, and they would all live in one big house. And then, of course, the senior father and mother would be the one whom they would go to for advice when there was any question. And now, of course, society has changed, not only here, but also in India. There are these nuclear families where there's husband, wife, two kids, that's it. And what is the difference between this nuclear family and that original joint family? In that joint family, there was no I and mine, that this is my house, this is my room, this is my space. Everything was ours. Everything was shared. The family worked as one unit. Of course, there were some disputes and conflicts, and then the senior member, the father or the mother, would resolve those conflicts. What that does is reduce your likes and dislikes, because you're forced to work with others. You cannot, nowadays, it's like, you know, me and my wife and my children. So there's no room for adjustment. Even the child says, this is my room. Nobody can come in this room. This is my space. And so there is more room for likes and dislikes. I like this. I want this. This is mine. This is not mine. This is yours. So there were certain advantages in living in a group, and that is called working with a yagna spirit. That's what Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, yagnyartham karmanonyatra. So the only way to work is, otherwise karma bandhana, otherwise you get bound, you know, in my likes and dislikes, in my raga dvesha. And this then has to extend to the community. I start with my family, my joint family, then my community, my state, my nation, and ultimately the earth, and ultimately the whole universe. So that is how this knowledge widens. And then Bhagavan says also, what we have covered, I'm just briefly summarizing what we have done in the third chapter. We are almost to the end. But he talks about faith. He says, Sanshayatma Pranashyati. He says, those who have faith in my teachings, they will follow it. But those who don't, who then think that they, then they suffer. Because if you don't have faith in these teachings of the Gita, you don't follow them, then life will create its own problems. And also Bhagavan says that wherever you have been placed, whatever station, if you, whether you are a mother or a father, whether you are a child or a sister or a brother, you are a doctor or an engineer or housewife or lawyer, is the right place for you to evolve, to grow spiritually. And that is my swadharma. So do what suits your nature. Do not try to copy somebody else's, as we talked last time. Your child is an artist. He wants to be an artist, and you force him to become an engineer or a doctor. Why? Because they make more money. The child may do that, but will be unhappy. So he says, Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna Paradharmat Swanushtita. So do your own duty wherever you have been placed as a servant of the Lord, and see that this particular situation is for my growth. So whatever job I am doing, do it as his work. And then Bhagavan talked about the wise people and the ignorant person. The ignorant person says, I am the doer. Me, I do everything. And wise person says, Guna Guneshu Vartante Iti Matvana Sajjate. He says, I am the Brahman, the consciousness. And in my presence, this body, mind and intellect are working. While the ignorant person thinks, I am this body, mind and intellect. For the people who are new in the class, this chart is made by Swami Chinmayananda, called the BMI chart. And we have three equipments, the body, the mind, and the intellect. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. And with the intellect, I think the thoughts. And we are the vasanas, which are my tendencies, my habits. And Om represents God's presence. God is in every one of us. And the Vedanta tells you that you all are divine. We all are that divinity. But by mistake, we think ourselves to be this body, mind and intellect. And my name is Anil or Prem or Tony. And I am a male or a female. And this is what I do. And this is my job. Yes, whatever role we have been assigned, you play that role. But always remember that you are that consciousness. We all are a manifestation of Krishna. We all are a manifestation of Jesus. We all are a manifestation of Mother Goddess. We all are that. And that is what we have to understand. And the wise person does. And when he works with that attitude that he's a servant of the Lord, then he does not create more vasanas, more tendencies. It is like writing on water. If you write on water, does it stay? No. In fact, nowadays, if you on YouTube, you see so many beautiful paintings that people make with dust on water. Beautiful. How much time they spend. But how long does that last? After a while, it disperses. But you and me, when we work with the selfish ego, it is like writing in stone. Like if you have a cement has not been set yet, and kids come and write their name. Once it sets, it's there forever. So you and I, when we work in the world with our ego, we add more vasanas, more tendencies, while a wise person has no ego, no doership, and works as the servant of the Lord or as the consciousness. I am the consciousness, and this body, mind, and intellect are my equipment. So we have already talked about that in the previous verse. So this is a very quick summary of 36 verses. All of you have the book. Please read it. And you can also listen to my previous talks on firstpower.info. If you click there, you can listen to previous talks. So today we'll go to verse number 37. As you remember last week, in verse number 36, Arjuna asked a question, Atha kena prayukto yam papam charati purushah. Anichanapi varsneya baladiva niyojita. He says, what is it that makes a man commit sin? Why, even knowing what is right, why am I not able to do it? And why do I do the wrong thing? What is it? It's like some force which is propelling me. So Bhagavan answers very beautifully in verse number 37. Chapter 3, verse number 37. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samudbhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyena miha vairinam. So the Shri Bhagwan Uvash, the Lord said, Shri Krishna said, what did he say? What is this force that is propelling us to commit sin? So his answer is Kama Esha Krodha Esha. So this force is Kama and Krodha. Kama is desire, but an overwhelming desire, and Krodha is anger. So these are the two forces that propel us to do wrong. And where do they arise from? Rajoguna Samudbhavaha. Samudbhava means they are originating or created from Rajas. Rajoguna. We'll talk about Rajas. And what is the problem with this desire? Why is it wrong? This desire and anger. Mahashana. It devours you. It destroys you. When an overwhelming desire or anger comes, do we think? No. We just say whatever comes to our mind, all our wisdom, all our civilization, culture, everything goes away. An angry person, you know, and nowadays, of course, it's even worse. Nowadays, everybody has a gun. So they don't just slap the other person. They get an AK-47 and kill 30, 40 people. So anger loots away your discrimination. Mahashana, it destroys, eats you up, devours you. And it's a mahapapma, and it makes you commit sin. And vidhi, and know this desire and anger, iha vairinam. It is an enemy. And why does he say enemy? Because Arjuna is a soldier. He said, enemy? Where's the enemy? let me take out my bow and arrow. So he's always ready because that he's a soldier. So that's why Bhagavan uses the word enemy. And it's an enemy for all of us. The moment you are under the influence of an overwhelming desire or overwhelming anger, it becomes your enemy. And in that process, enemy for all. So let us see. It's a beautiful analysis Bhagavan has done. He could have just said Kama, Esha, Krodesha, ended the answer. What is the enemy? Kama and Krodha, desire and anger. And the answer is finished. But Bhagavan is like a consultant, like you call a consultant in your firm, and because the sales are down. So consultant just doesn't give a one-line thing. You know, he gives you a 30, 40, 50, 100-page report. They'll do a full analysis. Why sales are down? What are the salesmen doing? How is the advertising? How is the product? What is the competition in the market? You guys know all that, you know, those of you who are in the commercial field, in business. So the consultant's report is several hundred pages long where they have completely analyzed the whole situation. So here Bhagavan completely analyzes what is this anger? What is this greed? Desire, where does it arise from? What are its manifestations? How can we recognize it? Where do we find it? How can we overcome it? All that is very beautifully answered in the next few verses. So when he uses the word desire and anger in the Bhagavad Gita, so in the Bhagavad Gita, when they use one word, it is symbolic of many. Like when Bhagavan says years. So he says year, he does not mean only ears. He means eyes, ears, nose, skin and tongue. All the five sense organs. Or when he says speech, sometimes he means speech, but sometimes he means all the five organs of action, hands, feet, speech, genital organs, organs of excretion, so on. So similarly, when he uses raga and dvesha, desire and anger, there are many other children of these two. The third one is greed. What is anger? I have a desire, overwhelming. I want it, I have to have it. And when I don't get it, then whoever is the obstacle, it could be a person, it could be a situation, I get angry, I didn't get it, I must have it. And if I get it, then greed. Oh, it was so good, I want more and more, more and more, more. So that's the third child. Desire has two, one, anger has second child, greed. Then what other children of desire? Jealousy. I got it, but the other guy got more. So I'm jealous. And then there is pride. I got it, and the other guy didn't get it. So I am superior. So superiority complex, inferiority complex, the ego, you know, I am somebody special. So desire is one, but has many children. So when Bhagavan says Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, he's talking about all the children of desire. Anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, you know, competition, ego, pride, arrogance. All those come with it. And why does anger create problem? Because we brood upon sense objects. When we brood upon sense objects, it creates desire. And when I don't get what I want, it creates anger. So desire is the main problem. And in the second verse, we had already studied that, which talk about how man falls. Because when you have a desire, you're brooding on objects, then the desire arises. With desire comes anger. With anger comes delusion, because I didn't get what I want. And with delusion, buddhi nasha, all your wisdom is gone. Smriti Vibhrama, all the knowledge is gone, and pranashyati. So brooding on objects creates problem. And with Duryodhana's life is a typical example. Sri Krishna told him that, look, you know that this war is going to create problem and your whole dynasty, Kaurava dynasty, will be destroyed. Krishna told him very clearly. Duryodhana said, yes, I know what is right, but I am unable to do it. I know what is wrong, I am unable to avoid it. So Duryodhana is not somebody who lived 5,000 years ago. Duryodhana is in every one of us. We all are Duryodhana. Duryodhana was not some evil person, you know. We all have the same problem. We know what is right, but we are unable to do it. And we know what is wrong, but we are unable to avoid it. So the other problem with anger is it creates a sense of power, you know. Tu janta nahi hai mujhe. You don't know me. Mere ko gussa mat dilana. If you get me angry, you don't know what will happen. So then we exert our power on others by getting angry, by shouting at people. Yes, anger rarely may be needed, you know, to discipline a child or something. But that also is very rare. Most of the time, with loving words, we can do that. And even if you have to use stern language, inside you should remain calm. And the word should come out of love, not out of a desire to punish the child. And desire should slowly be reduced. But what happens in us, the desire remains, whether I'm 50, then I'm 60, I'm 70. Still that strong desire is there. It's like an plane, all four engines are running. And then the pilot realizes that, you know, airport is close. I don't need to run four engines. Plane can run fine with two engines. So he shuts off four engines, and with two engines slowly he coasts. He knows the four engines are available for a backup, and he slowly coasts and lands. So he has saved fuel, he has, you know, not made noise pollution. So same way you and I, we are running our life on four engines, full desire, want, working, acquiring, possessing. So they say as you get older, slowly cut down your energy expenditure. Stop wasting it on worldly things, especially if once our children are settled. Why do we need to worry so much about acquiring and possessing? Share what you have and turn your mind towards God, especially as we get closer to retirement. Think about God all the time. Why do we need to worry about children and grandchildren and who is doing what? Let them. We brought up our children. Now let them live their life. When they ask for help, you go and help. But to constantly interfere and look here and there what the child is doing, what grant, let them, you lived your life. Now spend time thinking about God and spend your time in spiritual pursuit. Slow down your engines, because now is the time for you to go towards God. Same example is of surfing. So many examples from this particular verse. So if you have seen surfers, how do they go? A total beginner, what happens? The smallest wave comes, he gets knocked over. Surfboard is in one direction, he is in the other, his head is hurt and he's bleeding, he cut himself on the surfboard. But then slowly he learns. And then even the once he's an expert, even the biggest, most dangerous wave comes, he's happier. The bigger the wave, the better. He'll go to Laguna Beach where the waves are huge. And he'll go way out in the ocean, and then the huge wave comes and beautifully he rides it all the way. He uses the power to enjoy himself. So similarly, desire for a beginner, it overwhelms us. But a wise person uses that desire to do good, to help others, to serve the world. Desire is not just for me. And so such a person says, desire, anger, greed, all three of you can come. I am unaffected. Just as the expert says, bigger the wave, the better I am. I have no problems. So how can we have a wise desire? There's a beautiful story of Saint Tyagaraja. Those of you who are from South might have heard of him. He was a great Telugu saint. And thousands of hymns he composed in praise of the Lord. Lord Rama was his Ishta Devta, was his deity. And thousands of verses he composed, not only of devotion, but extreme wisdom, lot of knowledge. And his fame, you know, slowly people, his devotees started singing those hymns, and slowly his fame spread. So the king of the country, you know, in those days, king was absolute. If king says something and you don't listen, your head is chopped off. And so the king sends him an invitation. I want you to come and sing in my court. You know, he says, I've heard you're a very good singer. And he sends him an invitation, not as an order, but nice request. And he sends rice, a plate of rice. And inside the rice, it's filled with gold coins. He says, you know, please come, not as an order, but please come to my court and here is my little offering. But the gold coins were covered with the rice. So Tyagaraja looked at it and he said, this is fishy. So he puts his hand in there, he sees the gold coins. One by one, he throws them out the door, out the window of his little hut. And the children around are grabbing it. You can have it. The rice, he says, I'll keep because the king sent it with love. But I'm not going. So his brother said, you're not going? You know what will happen? The king will have your head. He says, the king is not my master. My master is Bhagwan Sri Ram. The king can do whatever he wants. I'm not going. And he didn't go. He just said, and the money I don't want. And he composed a very beautiful hymn right after that. He said, can money buy happiness? That was the exact hymn right after that he took, which was a lesson not only for his devotees, but a message to the king that money cannot buy you happiness. Money can only buy happiness when it is used in the service of others. Money lying in the bank or lying in the stock market can get you comfort, but cannot get you happiness, can get you temporary pleasure. But money that is used in the right way, only that can buy you happiness. And then Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the 10th chapter, he says, dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. O Arjuna, I am kama, I am desire, which is not opposed to dharma. So the desire that is for the right object at the right time. So like a youth of 25, what his desires, suppose a youth, an older individual of 60 or 70, if he has the same desires as the 25-year-old, that's not his dharma. So whatever your right attitude, the desires for the right thing is what I am, Sri Krishna says. So desire should be accompanied by dharma. So I should have the right desire for the right thing. Because why? Maha shano maha papma. This desire will consume you. And that's why we call ourselves a consumer society. And that's why in the Super Bowl, they spend $1 million for a 30-second ad. Used to be million, now I think it's 2 or 3 million. Why? They know that one 30-second ad, millions of people will buy, will see that ad, and they'll all go out and buy the newest cell phone or the latest car or the... And that 1 or 2 million will make 100 million. So we are a consumer-driven society where we just look at ad and we say, I have to buy it. I have to possess it. Last week we talked about minimalism. So that is what this verse says, that desire, anger, and greed are your enemies because they will make you do the wrong thing, and know them to be arise from rajas. And what is rajas? We'll talk in the next verse where we'll talk about sattva, rajas and tamas. These are the three qualities that human beings work under. So that will be covered in detail in the next verse.